them because they're not, you know, as comfortable, or we don't, you know, enjoy reading those stories. We're just like reading the happy stuff. But then how do we learn, right? So this is a really important part of this. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Judges chapter 9. Again, disclaimer, there's not a lot of good things that come out of the book of Judges. It's a time period in God's history for his people where there's just sort of constant correction, and there's a lot of mistakes that are made, and then people that come along, the judges who come to kind of correct and like bring God's people kind of back to where they need to be, but it's in a very imperfect situation and way. And so we'll be in verses 50 through 57. And the title for today is just Dishonorable End. And this account is about a guy named Abimelech. You may or may not know who that is or have read about him recently. That's okay if you haven't. It's a story about a guy who was a son related to one of the judges. And he's in kind of an interesting family situation, and he feels slighted, and he takes matters into his own hands to accomplish what he wants to see happen. And so the phrase I want you to remember with this is ambition that kills. Now, good ambition, right, that leads to life and positive things, you know, that's something we can focus on. But there's also an ambition that can really steal our joy and our life, and can put us focused on a lot of things that really are not God-honoring. And so with that, we'll get into it. But before I do that, I had one story. I got to take a really short trip to Texas this week, and it was life-giving for me, and so I don't get to take a lot of trips down there, and so I did. I was for a very short time. I had a friend who was graduating from the seminary, and I'm taking care of some family matters, some other things, and I was there for about 18 hours, including the short amount of sleep that I got. And I left as soon as my friend walked across the stage and got to give him a hug. So it was a wonderful time, but I also got to meet with one of my mentors. I'm really the guy who's kind of, you know, just helped encourage me over the years as I served for 10 years in student ministry, and he's still teaching at the seminary, and his name's Dr. Ross, and I got to meet with him for a short time, and we just kind of talked about things that were going on in the world and our country. And one of the things that he noticed was that there's this there's not as much ambition when it comes to things of the Lord. Now, he's been doing this a long time. He's in his 70s, and he goes and he still speaks at churches all the time, to student ministries, to churches, just to kind of give challenges and say, you know, what's our perspective? You know, what are we aiming for? And said one of the things he noticed most was that there's a lot of ambition on everyday things. You know, it's kind of like what Greg said. We're so focused on like everything else that's going on around us, and like, you know, the emergency things too, but there's so many things pulling in our attention and our time, and a lot of times it pulls our focus away from the Lord. And so I want to preface this passage today. If you look just a chapter before in Judges chapter 8, we see where everything goes badly. And we kind of, when we read Abimelech's story, you know, although he does a lot of pretty awful things, it's kind of hard, you know, you maybe feel for the guy at times why he turned out the way that he did. And so we see here in Judges chapter 8, verses 33 through 35, it really sets the stage for us today. It says, "As soon as Gideon died, the people of Israel turned again and whored after the Baals and made Baal-Pereth their god. And the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hand of all their enemies on every side. And they did not show steadfast love to the family of Jerubbaal," that is Gideon, "in return for all the good that he had done Israel." Now you imagine a guy like Gideon, a great care for the people, led him in a very tumultuous time. There would have been some respect there. There would have been maybe people who would have gone, you know what, we've really been led down a good path recently, and we should stick with that. But no, as soon as Gideon passes, and this happens all throughout the Bible, and in particular the Old Testament, a leader dies, and there's either a great challenge to stay faithful to the Lord, or it just says, and the people forgot about God. And that can be some really sad times in the Bible when you read, and we'll see that this is really what takes place. And so we'll start in verse 50. And we'll kind of give some more context as we walk through this, because it's a short text today. We just don't have time to go through all of it, but we'll work through what happened here for Abimelech. And so the first fill in the blank, if you like to write stuff down, is perceived accomplishment. You know, Abimelech's story was basically, I'm going to kill everyone in my way in order to accomplish my purposes. He wasn't consulting the Lord. He wasn't asking God, what should I do with my life? He said, here's what I want, and I'm going to take it. He craved power and authority, and he thought that was the thing that was going to bring him great joy. And so, you know, one of the things we do, and I'll read verse 50, before I do that, I was thinking about this a lot. There's a lot of things that we perceive as accomplishments in life. There's a lot of things that we just kind of go like, okay, God, yeah, I know you're in this space. I know you're at church, and maybe in some other parts of our lives, we bring him back for like, oh, we're going to get married, you know, let's have the, you know, pastor be a part of that, or, you know, we're having kids. I guess we should, you know, dedicate them, you know. So we at these kind of intersections of life, we'll bring God back into the picture, but then when it comes to a lot of other things, we just go like, I just don't know that his opinion matters that much, right? And then we wonder why. We're kind of trying to figure out where we're going in life. Well, verse 50 says, then Abimelech went to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and captured it. Now, up until this point, Abimelech, he's had a lot of success. He's kind of manipulated and he's rallied people onto his side, and he's conquered and he's destroyed and he's left a wake of destruction in his path. But what happened on this way to success? Again, he's left maybe with a chip on his shoulder as an illegitimate child of Gideon, and he hates his family, everything that it represents. And along the way, as his choice to accomplish the things that he wants, man, he's going to make a lot more errors. But it all leads him to this place where he perceives that he's made great accomplishments and he can do anything else. He's done it himself. And verse 51 says, but there was a strong tower within the city. All the men and women, all the leaders of the city fled into it and shut themselves in, and they went up on the roof of the tower. Now, this is a similar situation, and you'll see in some of these ancient cities, again, there's like this fortified place, you know, a tower or something that was built up, maybe made with brick, with stone, and it was going to be like the last place of refuge. It reminds me of the Lord of the Rings. I don't know if you've ever seen any of those battles, the two towers in particular. There's always like a, you know, there's a wall, right? There's a fortification, but that is overcome by the enemy, you know, they're breaking in. They're always like retreating to another space, and they always end up in some place like a tower, you know, a place that they can defend. And Abimelech, he's been in this place before. He's seen success, even though he's not fighting for the Lord, he's fighting for himself and his own glory. And he thinks that maybe he can overpower this group, which, by the way, this place he was here in Thebez, it was a lot smaller than other places he had conquered. And I think we get in that place too. You know, we read, you know, these stories, and we think that they don't relate to us, but they do. We perceive at times that there are things in our lives that we can simply handle on our own. We can accomplish, we can do. And if it means I get to this point in life or I reach this goal, then whatever I have to do to get there, I'm willing to do. And Abimelech certainly believed that, but his pride got the best of him, didn't it? You read here in 51, it says, and Abimelech came to the tower and fought against it and drew near to the door of the tower to burn it with fire. Now, these are the same tactics. Again, if you read the full account of his story, he attacks, he overcomes, people go to the tower, and then he's basically going to smoke them out. He's like, you know, this is, you know, we're just going to burn the tower. They're all going to come out of there, and then we're going to get him. But something different happens here. And it was his ambition, his pride, his self-recognition of his own accomplishments that got the best of him. And he thought, well, I'll be able to do this again. And so the second fill in the blank is forced humility. So we've got this perceived accomplishment and this forced humility. And many times this is what the Lord does. It has to, you know, knock us off of our feet in order to show us our need for him. And I wish there were many times in my life I hadn't just gone, you know what, I think I got it, God. And then he's like, no, you don't, right? But for Abimelech, this is going to be a much more serious consequence than just the Lord having to sit us still and go, you know, what are we doing? Like, why are we doing it this way? You know, you have perceived that you've accomplished great things or done something, you know, excellent for yourself. Maybe you've been successful in whatever area of life or work or family. And we view those things and we go, well, if I've done well here, then, you know, God's good. Like, I don't really need to consult him. And so he, again, he's in the same practice here. And it's a dishonorable end, but it's going to show us how we can turn our perspective back towards the Lord and not walk away from him. And so in verse 53, it says, "And a certain woman threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull." Wow, that's a great verse. Again, you know, thank you for reading that. Why are we here today? I don't know. So, but what happened in a moment, Abimelech, who has, you know, he's conquered all, he's done well, he's the child with the chip on his shoulder, the illegitimate son of Gideon, who says, "Well, I don't care what else has happened, you know, you don't know me, I'm gonna, you know, pull myself up by my bootstraps, see what I've accomplished, look at all these people who are following me, I've convinced them that I need to be the next ruler of God's people." But he doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about his people. He only cares about himself. And so there's a church father, Basil the Great, who said this about this verse. He said, "Abimelech, the illegitimate son of Gideon, killed the 70 legitimate sons. And thinking he had it upon a ruse, securing his grasp on royal power, he destroyed his accomplices in the crime. However, was in turn destroyed by them, and in the end was slain at the hand of a woman." Now, when you read this, there is, in the ancient times, there's great offense. There would have been for a warrior to be killed by a lady. No offense, ladies. They just, usually the women were not trained in battle, and so that just didn't really happen. And so getting a big stone dropped on your head by a woman would have been like the most disgraceful thing, or one of the most disgraceful things that could have happened. And this is where this all leads him to. It's a dishonorable end for a dishonorable life that was only focused on what he thought he could accomplish, what would bring him joy and fulfillment. And we see it all around us, you know, and at times we get sucked into it too, like the allure of being cool or powerful or successful or well-liked, whatever it is, you know, you fill in the blank, and we just go, like, if I could do that, then I'll be happy or I'll be fulfilled. You know, Abimelech was like, I'm going to show them. To show them I'm worth something, right? And we were just talking about, we were singing about it this morning. It's like, what makes us valuable, right? And that we could, like, produce something or make something where people are like, wow, they're so awesome or they're so cool. All of our worth is wrapped up in what God has done for us, right? And we don't have to, you know, sit here and stew and scheme and try to figure out what to do. But again, this is what Abimelech did. And so what's the, you know, the in conclusion of this? Well, it says in 54, "Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, 'Draw your sword and kill me, lest they say to me, a woman killed him.' And his young man thrust him through, and he died." It's a very Saul-like request. If you know the account of Saul at the end of his life, he's mortally injured, and he's begging his armor bearer, you know, "Please, you know, hey, take my life. I don't want to go out like this." And his armor bearer doesn't do that. But here, I guess he's got a better armor bearer, maybe, Abimelech's friend here. And he helps him out, if you could call it that. But I'm not sure it was really help. So all this leads to this moment. Matthew Henry said this about verse 54. He said, "Evil pursues sinners and sometimes overtakes them when they are not only secure, but triumphant." You know, the interesting thing is when we read, you know, we read these texts, they're just a reminder to us. Like, there's so many, you know, ways, there's so many things that we can, you know, do in life, and many times things that are extremely successful, you know. And my guess is somebody's probably not going to come along and drop a millstone on you, right? But for Abimelech, this was this immediate reconciliation of all the things that he had already done. His pride got the best of him, and he was humbled in a moment to the end. And I wonder, you know, where this leads us, or how this, you know, reminds us of our own pursuits and purposes. Like, why are we doing what we're doing? You know, it's good to take a self-evaluation every once in a while and go, like, why am I here? Why am I at this point in my life? Why am I going to this place to work? Why am I invested in the group of people that I am? And maybe it's, you know, even church. Like, I think sometimes, you know, we just lose that perspective of what's the main point of all this. You know, for Abimelech, it was clear. It was his own purposes. It was his self-glorification. And it all led him to this point. In verse 55, it says, "And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, everyone departed, to his own home. So this figurehead was brought low, and everybody stopped fighting, and the people were humbled. But it all goes back to this point. We read it at the beginning in chapter 8. As soon as Gideon died, the people of Israel turned again and whored after the Baals and made Baal-perith their god, and the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hand of all their enemies on every side. Now, if you look at the book, the book of Judges, if you look at 1 and 2 Kings, you'll see a similar theme where it says something like a leader died, and it says everybody did what was right in their own eyes. For a time, seemed good. And that's always what happens, right? You know, we come up with our own ideas, our ways to make life fulfilling, and then somewhere along the line, we're like, what happened? You know, what went wrong? We lost our perspective and our focus on the Lord. And there was a resulting evil that takes place. And this is the last fill in the blank. So, like, wow, how did we already get to point three? Can you believe that? Thank you, Lord. Maybe you had some other things to do today. You'll have plenty of time for that, I think. The resulting evil. So there's an important question we have to consider. Is my sin or my poor choices, do they have any effect on anybody else? And I know it's easy for us to go, oh, well, no, it's just me, or no, that doesn't affect anything else. But there were a lot of people that suffered under Abimelech's quest to find meaning and purpose and what he thought was his joy in life. He manipulates, he brings people alongside him, and then he conquers people. And so there's all this destruction that's left in his wake. But here's what it says in verse 56. Thus God returned the evil of Abimelech, which he committed against his father, and killing his 70 brothers. So there's this great offense that's already been committed. This doesn't start out well. You know, like some texts, some stories, you know, some, you know, parts of the Bible you might read and be like, you know, I think it's going to turn out well, but this doesn't even start well. And it starts with a great evil against God's people and against Gideon's people. Can you believe this? We read this, and it's probably not a story we go, I want to read that again. I want to go back to that again soon, because when you read this, you see this terrible account of Abimelech, the illegitimate son, who talks the people into killing all of Gideon's legitimate sons, almost all of them. There's one that's left. the 70 sons, these people who were who loved the Lord, who were committed to him. And Abimelech comes in and he says, hey, trust me, you want to let me lead this great people. You don't want the other sons of Gideon. You don't want these 70 people? Why, that seems like a big committee, you know? We've all been on committees before in church. He says, why would you want all these people to lead? Why don't you just let me? So it says, thus God returned the evil of Abimelech, which he committed against his father, killing his 70 brothers. Now, it's easy to make comparison here. The word here is, for evil, it's the word ra in the text. It means wicked actions and thoughts. So he made a plan. He carried it out. He had this great lust for power, and he didn't really have a rightful claim on it, though. So he had to remove other people that were in his way. And that's what we do, too. You know, we read these accounts, and we're like, oh, man, that's a really terrible story. I'm glad I'm not like that. And we don't think to, you know, sit there for a moment and just, you know, let the text marinate, because there's, at times, I mean, there are parts of our lives where we're just like, man, I'm going to take it upon myself to accomplish this or to do this, and I don't care who gets in my way. And we may not say that, but if there's anything in opposition to our, like, structure of joy in life or whatever we think is our, like, level of success, we'll just, right, push other people to the side, and we'll harm others. So we don't really think about the consequences. We say, well, I'm not like Abimelech, right? But maybe we are in some ways. And so there needs to be, and in all the scripture too, you know, when we read anything here, we've got to take a look at, like, what the Lord is doing in our own hearts. Like, instead of just going, that was a nice story, probably won't read it again, or that doesn't really pertain to me. We've got to go, God, what is the significance of Abimelech's pursuit of power and control and fulfillment in life? And, like, how does that match up with the way that I'm living right now? And we go, I didn't kill anybody. Surely didn't kill any of my brothers or family. Oh, I'd like to sometimes, right? You know, I didn't do any of those things. But, you know, but what have we done? You know, how are we living right now that's going to affect that end? And again, this is, you know, this is what the whole series has been about. Like, what are the words that you're going to say that'll be at the end of your life? My guess is they'll probably be a pretty good reflection of the life that you lived. And if we're considering that statement, those last words that we'll make, then that should change. I mean, some of the things that we do right now. It's easy to see this account of somebody in the text and then go like, it's too far away from us. That has nothing to do with us right now. But yet, it does. We'll close with verse 57. It says, "And God also made all the evil of all the men of Shechem return on their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal." And again, that name Jerubbaal, it's also just another name for Gideon. Then Matthew Henry said this about the verse. He said, "Though wickedness may prosper a while, it will not prosper always." It's easy. I mean, it's easy to make bad choices for a short time, right? You know, we see the effects of that on our life down the road, but by the time we're able to give those last words, like, you can't go back. You can't go back and be like, oh, here, let me just change the way I live my entire life, right? We've got to examine now in the context of the way that we can live, because everybody's responsible for their actions, and we won't be able to look at somebody else too. You know, I don't know that Abimelech at the end, and he's like, he had that millstone dropped on his head. Was he looking around to everybody else? Like, this is your fault, right? If you've had kids, then you've heard that before, right? This is your fault. I'm like, what? You're the one that made a bad choice. Like, how do you not see that? And they're like, it's you, you know? But yet we're all responsible. So he mentions here, or it's mentioned here in the text, Jotham was the lone surviving son of Gideon's line, and this produced a judgment or a curse on Abimelech, his half-brother, for what he had done to his brothers. It says in Judges 9:20, it says, "Let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the leaders of Shechem and Beth Milo, and let the fire come out from the leaders of Shechem and from Beth Milo and devour Abimelech." And this was a statement made in response to the wicked things that he had done, right? Taking his brother's lives, and it was like, you know, okay, probably only bad things in your future. You know, it's like some people saw that, and but how do you not recognize the signs? I mean, what is success? What is power? What is our, you know, perceived goal in life? Sometimes as we're looking towards, you know, the end, you know, we just go like, I'm gonna get to that point at all costs. Like, you know, even if God's telling me, hey, I think we need to go a different route. I think you need to make some changes. We can so be so blinded by those things, right? And whatever that is, whatever the perceived goal is. And it ends badly for Abimelech. You know, luckily for us today, it's like, you know, we read texts like this and we're like, how did he go so wrong? Well, we know, yeah, he was blinded by pride. He was led astray by those things, but he made individual choices. And for us today too, we can go, you know, thank you, Lord, for sending the Spirit that gives us guidance. And if we've put our faith and trust in Jesus, that we don't have to wonder. It's like, you know, I wonder what, you know, good choices I should make. I'm confused about what direction in life I should go. Should I harm others? No, I mean, there's those things that should come obviously to us because of the Spirit's discernment, but we still make just as many bad choices, right? We've got to go, okay, God, like right now, if I'm taking inventory of my life, what are maybe some trajectories, some paths that I might go down and be in a bad place? My guess was Abimelech didn't have a lot of sound advice or advisors or mentors or people in his life that were going, hey, maybe that's not the best thing to do. So that should be part of the equation. And today I want to just end on this thought. I'm doing a lot of thinking and praying this week. I had a long car drive back too, so I hadn't had some time to do that. And today, if you didn't know, we're coming up on what'll be today. It's a remembrance day of the Holocaust in Israel. You know, they'll sound these alarms and everybody will stop, and it'll take a few minutes just to stand there, silence, remember just how bad things can get. And of course, you know, that probably rings more true now today if you've ever turned on the news in the last several months. of how Israel's under attack, under a lot of different ways. And there should always be a response to this. And as I was thinking about this day coming up, in the text today, I remembered when we were serving in Dallas, and they had just built this new Holocaust Museum in Dallas. And one of the people that I worked for, my executive pastor at the time, we were, you know, we always have staff meetings during the week, and he was like, hey, for staff meeting, you know, once this month, we're going to go to the Holocaust Museum. And I was like, I mean, I know what happened. I'm not really sure I need to go and, you know, go to a museum. I don't know. I'm just not a museum guy, maybe. But we went and we walked through this thing, and there's like the little audio recording you listen to, and as you're like looking at all these, you know, pictures and the concentration camps and the testimonies of, you know, people who had recorded things in advance about, you know, what had taken place. I don't know. It just kind of kind of blew me away. And then I was like, how did that happen? Like, how did the world get to that place where the genocide of a people group made sense? Like, how did that just, you know, I don't know, it blew my mind. And when you walk out of that kind of place, you're like, man, I really hope that somebody paid for this. And of course, they did. But we so quickly forget history, you know, we forget the things that have gone badly. And that's what happened for God's people. Abimelech says, I've got a better idea. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds good. Why'd that happen? It's because they completely forgot God. They forgot who they were. And then what does that do? That just opens the door for us to go, I think I know best. And maybe it's not as an extreme of an example for you in your own personal walk with the Lord, as Abimelech here, who completely departed from the ways of the Lord. But maybe we just need reminders from time to time. We can't justify our own bad choices and our own ability to say, well, you know, but I've been successful. I've accomplished this, or I've got a plan for my life. And the Lord is just always reminding me that that's not really what it's about, right? Pursuit of Him, sometimes it doesn't always even lead to accomplishment. And we don't want to be in that place where we're forced to be humbled in that moment, right? Maybe not with a millstone, but maybe in some other significant way. Because what happened for God's people? A lot of harm, right? A lot of destruction, a lot of wake of harmful things. And you can only imagine what Abimelech was thinking there at the end. Man, how many poor choices, individual poor choices led up to this time? Maybe God gives us these accounts, these uncomfortable stories in the line of the history of His people, so that we might read those and go, you know what? I mean, God, why am I doing what I'm doing right now? Because there's an ambition that's good, right? That leads to godliness, that's focused on Him, that's in pursuit of Him. And there's one that really leads to death. And that's the one where we go, here's all the things that I want to do. Here's all the things that I want to accomplish. Here's the way that I think this is going to go well. And it almost always leads us to a worse place, doesn't it? Well, if you're here today, I don't know, maybe you... like Abimelech, I don't know that guy. Old Testament, never turned there anyway, so it doesn't matter to me. Maybe you're here and you haven't even started this story yet. You haven't even known God or belonged to Him. We believe that it's not a hard decision to make. You admit you're a sinner, right? Everybody needs help. Everybody needs God's help. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that He was raised from the dead on the third day so we might have eternal life, and then confess with your mouth that He's the Lord of your life. And the Bible says we'll be saved if we believe that, right? We don't have to walk in confusion. We don't have to make bad choices, right? We don't have to wonder if God's really there, if He's got direction for our lives. Well, He does care for us. Like we sang about today, we're not made to tend a graveyard, right? We're not made to tend our own graves. We're meant to do something greater, right? And I love that because that's God's story for all of us. It doesn't have to end like it did for Abimelech, drastically humbled. But it can end for us in a much better place, right? A life lived for God, having been faithful, and our last words don't have to be regret, right? They can be of joy, of anticipation, no fear, and joy entering, you know, heaven. So I hope we'll think about that as we go through this series. I promise there's going to be fun passages, right? And there's going to be, you know, there's going to be good ones, but without some of these ones that are just like, ah, that's not fun. We can't be reminded of some of the ways that this can go wrong, right? That we need to consider God's purposes. And certainly in our life where if we don't follow the Lord, Those can go so badly, can't they? Well, let's pray, okay? Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. God, all the accounts that at times seem so uncomfortable, they seem so drastic, they seem so far removed from us. God, I pray that as we you know, as we read through these accounts, as we consider the lives of those who even came from your people that made so many bad choices that led them down a really bad path, God, I pray that we can remember the past, remember those who acknowledged, who even when history recounts them, says they forgot you. They stopped thinking about you. They didn't even know you anymore, and they did what they thought was right in their own eyes. I pray that, you know, that wouldn't be us, God, that as we go about our lives, we each and every day we wake up, we wouldn't forget your goodness, your love for us, that we were meant for something so much greater. God, not to make a series of bad choices that lead to destruction, harm for the people around us. God, I pray you'd make us people who are so dedicated to you that what we bring is peace and joy and life to those around us. And God, as we gather together, there's this great anticipation that we will lift each other up, that we'll encourage each other, and we'll bring that life that comes together through this community of fellowship in who you are and what you've done for us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.